Right now, pleased to be joined on the telephone by the music critic of the Boston Herald, Jed Gottlieb, joining us this afternoon. Jed, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Grammy Awards coming up this weekend, and I ask this first of all, should we as music fans care about the Grammy Awards?
Oh, man, that is a big question. The quick answer is no, but the longer answer is, you know, they do kind of show us what a certain sort of segment of the industry cares about, what they value, what they think is important. A lot of it is about sales. A lot of it is, you know, straight up popularity contest, but it also is a reflection sort of the industry, and how the industry takes a while to sort of pivot, you know, towards or away from anything. So there's, you know, there's some lessons to be learned, and there, frankly, this year, there's a lot of good music nominated. There's a lot of music I'm very indifferent towards, but there's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and we were just talking about the Album of the Year nominees, and it really is a very diverse, wide-ranging group. But for my money, I don't know that anybody made a better album this year than Kacey Musgraves and Golden Hour.
That is high up there. That's a very deserving one. I think her and Brandy's album are like kind of like the great, like sort of singer-songwriter, Americana, country, folk, rock albums of the year. So it's nice to see them getting rewarded for being just like tremendous songwriters.
You also sometimes see what I guess, for lack of a better term, I would say is a makeup call for not giving people awards they might have deserved in the past, and that could end up helping somebody like Drake or also Kendrick Lamar for his work on the Black Panther soundtrack.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see what happens with Kendrick Lamar, because I remember when a few years ago when Taylor Swift beat him out for, you know, Taylor Swift's album was poppy and popular and it was fine, but he, you know, To Pimp a Butterfly was sort of this huge hip hop kind of masterpiece that really kind of reflected a lot of what was going on in America. So I think there might be a makeup call with him. He certainly has quite a few nominations, and there is certainly a lot of mojo for Black Panther right now, you know, winning a lot of the sort of undercard awards leading up to the Oscars and, you know, having a lot of nominations. So that's for sure. As you know, it's interesting with Drake. I don't know. Obviously a huge selling album, tons of singles. I just don't know if sort of his inward-looking sort of style is really what's going to resonate, as opposed to someone like, you know, like Kacey or, you know, like some of these people that are singing about, you know, bigger things.
Song of the Year is an interesting field as well, and again, a lot of options there. God's Plan from Drake is certainly one that might be a favorite of a lot of folks. Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, I mean, the impact that had went way beyond the music world. But then I think of a song like The Middle that had such broad-ranging appeal. Heck, my five-year-old will call that up from Alexa and dance to that. What do you think ends up winning as Song of the Year?
Yeah. I mean, this is an interesting category, too, because you're right. It's split between sort of, a few big hit singles that are popular and kind of fluffy, and then something like This Is America, which just, I mean, for a week, that kind of dominated the, you know, conversation, cultural conversations, which is a long time for anything to sort of hold our attention these days. And, you know, along with the video and Saturday Live performance and the huge tour, it was just kind of an amazing thing. And I kind of feel that that's what I'm sort of leaning towards. It just says, and they, you know, the Grammys have avoided giving huge awards to hip hop a lot. And so, you know, obviously there's a chance here with Drake and in many categories, Kendrick Lamar, but it'd be kind of cool to see Childish Gambino get this one for such a big song.
Best New Artist is always an interesting category. Sometimes you look back on the winners and say, oh, yeah, that was the end, the beginning and the end of their career. And some of these people have been making music for 3 or 4 years now, releasing albums. So I'm not sure what the criteria is, but who do you expect walks away with that award?
This is another good one. And it seems like, you know, the crop is pretty good. I think her, which you see stylized as, you know, H period, E period, R period, she has kind of created a real stir. So I think, you know, that's kind of like, she's not similar to Cardi B, but I feel like she's kind of channeling that kind of buzz right now as sort of a real important artist to watch. But you're right, it is a weird category where half of them went on to become icons and half of them in sort of, you know, 2 or 3 years, they really, you know, they weren't heard of that much anymore.
We're talking with Jed Gottlieb of the Boston Herald. So away from the awards, what are 2 or 3 albums that came out in this last year that will stand the test of time, that people will still listen to a decade or two down the road?
Yeah, that is a good question. I do think the Kacey Musgraves album is going to be that. I think the Brandi Carlile album is going to be that. That album is just tremendous and sort of top to bottom. You know, it's hard. It's, you know, they want to call it Americana. Some people maybe want to call it country, but it's kind of this wonderful thing that exists now that's outside of genre, that seems like a folk album and seems like a rock album. Doesn't really care to fit in one slot. And I think those are really good things. I think, you know, the artist that I'd really like to see win, who I think did some great work, is Janelle Monáe. Her album was tremendous. And she's kind of a long shot, but, you know, that whole album and her, you know, she had a bunch of singles that maybe weren't huge, but were, you know, deserving, smart stuff. So I would like to see, and she's, you know, she's got a few nominations in those big categories. She's a dark horse, and I think that album will be thought of as, even though she has a few albums before, you know, it's going to be thought of as like the beginning of her career. I think her next album is going to be, you know, number one, huge, huge seller. So I think Janelle Monáe, a lot of power and a lot of artistry right there.
You mentioned the Americana category and some great nominees, Brandi Carlile, John Prine, Leanne Womack, and others. And tomorrow we've got one of the stars, I guess, of that genre these days, Roseanne Cash, coming on the show. Her new album is so fantastic. And that to me is the genre where some of the greatest songwriting is taking place these days.
Absolutely. And, you know, she's a good example because, before the sort of Americana catch-all, people, you know, maybe she was country, maybe she was folk, and it's sort of this sort of same world that Brandi Carlile and a lot of people live in now. And it just, it sort of reflects this, it, you know, they kind of invented this term and this idea for this thing that, you know, you could stick some Rolling Stones songs in that category, you can stick some Willie Nelson songs in that category. It's pretty broad, but you're right. There's kind of the best songwriting has left sort of mainstream country and has gravitated over towards that world.
Jed, every time you're on, we always love to ask you, what's somebody we should be, who is someone we should be listening to, whether it's an individual artist or a band, what should we check out that's new and interesting?
I don't remember who I've talked to, so I don't necessarily want to repeat myself, but certainly Ruby Rose Fox is one of my favorites from down here, who is getting a little bit of momentum. I think, you know, if people don't know, if people are, you know, listening and thinking of Roseanne Cash, you know, I think Nico Case is one of these great, she had one of the great albums this year, and you know, she's not exactly mainstream. She's not quite out of it, but she's doing some phenomenal work. There's a lot of, if you look underneath the hood, there's a lot of people down there making, you know, great music still that you probably won't see on the Grammy stage.
Right. Did I see that you were impressed with American Repertory Theater's production of Jagged Little Pill that's headed to Broadway?
I was, you know, and I kind of knew that it was going to be going to Broadway. I think a lot of people knew that. They weren't confirming it. It was something that I went in and I was like, oh, is this going to be a disaster? I mean, just seems such a bizarre concept, but it was pretty brilliant. And I think, you know, certainly with a certain demographic, it is going to be a monster musical. I think I'm expecting many Tonys to come out of this.
Yeah, they do such great work. We've been down there several times to see, well, we saw the new version of Porgy and Bess with Audra McDonald, Waitress, before it went on to Broadway, and non-musical, but Bryan Cranston and All the Way. It's such a treasure down there in Cambridge.
Yeah, and Diane Paulus, the artistic director, has really done a good job of, you know, mixing it up. They just had this version of Othello there, so they've kind of got, you know, they'll definitely do nods to classics, and then they'll do something like Waitress, which is totally, you know, an adaptation, you know, a Sarah Bareilles collaboration on an adaptation of a indie film that not that many people saw that is now, you know, kind of a toast of Broadway and beyond. So there's really interesting stuff coming out there.
Now, I have to ask you, as you say, the preeminent David Lee Roth scholar in the Northeast, what about these rumors of the original band getting back together? You put any stock in that?
It's such a bizarre thing. When you go to see Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen looks like he is having the time of his life. He loves playing guitar so much, but it's so hard to, I think, get him out of his, you know, his billion-dollar home studio and on the road. But so I don't know how much he actually cares about that. I think they know that it would be a huge draw and that their star is fading a little bit. So to have the original bassist back in there would do a little something, but there's a good chance they may never play a show again. There's a good chance we could get, you know, 3 years of them straight on the road. It's with those kind of mercurial kind of personalities, to get anything to work is kind of a miracle.
Absolutely. Hey, Jed, we always love the chance to talk music with you. As always, thanks so much for visiting with us, and we'll catch you again soon.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Jed Gottlieb, Boston Herald, talking Grammys and more with us here on Downtown.